What would we do without the cross? You ever thought about that? That's a good song, and I'm going to ask our praise team to lead us in that to close again too, because there's some words in there that go so well with what is on my heart today. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, as I look at the cross this morning, and we've sung about the cross, it crossed my mind for a minute, what if the cross wouldn't have happened? And so I just want to say thank you this morning, Father, for your plan to redeem humanity through the cross. And we want to say thank you, Jesus, this morning for going to the cross. And I want to continue to pray for me and for us this morning, Father, lead us to the cross. Lead us to that cross, O God, that is so real, so profound, that as we fall before the cross and Jesus, our Lord, you would so radically transform us, so radically transform your church, that we would live in light of the cross. Thank you for this opportunity we have this morning to come and worship you and sing and praise you and just fellowship with each other. Thank you for that, Father, I pray. As Richard prayed this morning, I too pray for those that can't make it. Be with them, Father, we pray. Hospital beds, nursing homes, jails, just too sick, too wore out, too beaten down to come. Father, be with them, we pray. For those that won't choose to go to church, don't want to, Father, we pray for them today. Be very, very real to them too. Thank you, Father, for each person here. Speak to us, as I know you already are. Be with those that are on our prayer focus. There has been much loss of life in the last week and month and this winter. Our own community, our own church family, our families have lost much. And I pray that you would continue to be with all of those folks that are still hurting, reeling, wondering, asking. Be very real, Father, to them. Draw them to yourself and hold them in the palm of your hand. As Herb Richmond, who lies in a hospital bed yet again today, and I discussed yesterday and days before, we are in your hand, O God. And so hold us, encourage us, guide us, save us, forgive us, heal us, glorify your name in us, O God, we pray. Continue to guide us now this morning as we have come to worship you, I pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. While Sherry and I were in Kansas a couple of weeks ago, I think it's been 2 weeks ago already, I took a lot of notes on paper and I took a lot of mental notes because I was so encouraged by these bishops of ours. We have three in the Free Methodist Church in America, and I was so encouraged by these men. And from our chief operating officer, Larry Roberts, their presentations were just really good for me those days. Bishop Kendall, who is the bishop that oversees our particular conference, challenged us to be more like Jesus, to live more for Jesus, to give more of ourselves, which was good for me again. But I'm not going to refer to anything the bishop said this morning, But I am going to mention two separate comments that were made while Sherry and I were there. One I heard through a bishop, and one we heard through a pastor who was speaking one evening that really caught my attention. These particular comments were eye-opening to me. They were very similar in their scope, and I believe parallel what I have been trying to say perhaps for years. Comment number one. Most of you will know that the Free Methodist Church has a local conference. We get together every year. And then we call it the General Conference, where the United States churches come together every 4 years. During that General Conference, oftentimes there are delegations from around the world. And so last summer in Orlando, when we had our 2016 General Conference, there was a delegation from China there, Chinese Christians. The topic at hand at the time was sexuality, and more specifically, I suppose, homosexuality. And the Chinese delegation, who does not hear or does not discern English, had their interpreter there, and they said to their interpreter, who needed to draw in the bishop into this conversation, after this conversation went on for quite a while, they said simply, "Why are you in America even having this conversation? Is the Bible not clear on this matter?" To which the bishop replied, "Well, that's our culture today that we're struggling with. We're trying to minister to folks, and our society right now has done this, that, and the other thing. And those in the Chinese delegation then asked the bishop and the interpreter, they said this, how many, and there was hundreds of people at the General Conference, pastors and delegates and lay leaders and all manner of folks from the Free Methodist Church, hundreds had come together, and the Chinese delegation says to the bishop and says to the interpreter, of this crowd sitting out here, they're standing in the back so they can hear their interpreter, and they said, of this crowd out here, how many do you suppose here have been in prison for their faith? Well, the bishop said, probably none. To which the Chinese delegation said, and I quote, "You need to pray for persecution in America." Now, you may not know what he means, but I know what he means. You see, friends, what this brother meant, when they put on Christ, it means something. When they say, "I am going to follow Jesus," it may mean death. It will mean persecution to millions. As a matter of fact, I just read the other day, a day or two ago, in a Christian magazine, over the last 10 years, just under 1 million people have been killed for their faith. Just under 1 million in the last 10 years have died around the globe because they said, "I am going to follow Jesus." The Chinese delegation looked at this and they see us wrestling and struggling with this and that and the other thing. And their answer to all of this was to the bishop and to our leaders, "You need to pray for persecution in America." Why did he say that? So your faith becomes real. That's why. Comment number two. We heard from a pastor. She was sharing with us on Friday night. She was from upstate New York, where she pastored a church. And there was a church in her region that had just, upstate New York, that had just received in and welcomed in about 20 or 25 Christians from Burundi. Africans from Burundi that came to America, immigrated here, and were assimilating into that area of New York and in the Free Methodist Church there. They went to church on their first morning there. There was a good crowd on hand. Things were good. Things were positive. Things were happy. They were rejoicing. And that evening, as is the case every evening for that church, there was a prayer meeting. The same group of Christians from Burundi came to the prayer meeting. They were looking forward to the prayer meeting. After all, they'd met some people that morning and they saw lots of folks in church, and they were looking forward to an evening of passionate praying and seeking the face of God with this new church family. And when this 20-some folks from Burundi got to the prayer meeting that night and saw almost nobody there from the morning's church service, they said to the pastor, "Where's everybody else that was at church this morning?" And the pastor fumbled their way through an excuse / explanation that perhaps we are better at attending church some than we are at attending prayer meetings and seeking the face of God. To which the Burundi Christians replied, and I quote, "Are they even Christians?" And they followed up their quote with, "Why would they not take every opportunity to seek the face of God?" I don't know if that speaks to you, but it speaks to me. You say, "Well, that's a little judgmental, Jim." I don't think it is. I think it's a statement in reality, and a statement that woke up my heart. I think more than anything else, perhaps, it spoke to my heart about the depth, or should I say, the lack thereof, of my faith in the American church, and perhaps my commitment and the American church to Jesus Christ. This is the Lenten season, and I want to spend the rest of the Sundays through Lent and into Easter talking about dying to live, because that's what God spoke to my heart while I was there. It brings great sorrow to my heart and tears to my eyes, even this morning, to think that Jesus died 2,000 years ago so that we would be free from sin and no longer slaves to it. But when I hear these Christians from around the globe that look at the American church and they say these things, and to them there seems to be no discernible difference between the actions of the church and the actions of the world, I ask myself, Jim, have you even died to Christ? Have you really died to Christ? Church people, have we really died to self? To follow Jesus. A lot of folks are saying, "I'm a Christian." And only God knows if we are or we aren't. But I wonder, has there been any death to self? Are we too busy doing our own thing to have died to self, to follow Jesus? We want to be known as Christians. We want to live like the world. We want to be called Christians, but we want to be comfortable. We want to be seen as Christians, but we're more concerned about amusing ourselves than we are denying ourselves and following Jesus. We want to do what we want to do and give Jesus what's left over. That, brothers and sisters, is not dying to self. We don't want to be asked to sacrifice our time, our energy, or our pocketbook. That would not make us comfortable. Pastor Massey said it, and some of you heard him here a couple of years ago. Are you willing to die today for Jesus? Because people around the world are, and it may happen in America. You are going to have to decide, are you going to follow Jesus, or are you going to follow self? we would really not even consider suffering for the most part in America. That might go against our personal comfort. It might go against the prosperity gospel. Try telling the Christians in North Korea that are eating sawdust and mice to stay alive while they're being worked to death. Try telling those that are in the Yazidi Christian women that have been raped hundreds of times in some cases, Iraqi Christians that are thrown out of their homes, run out of their towns, murdered, maimed, raped, killed in all manner of mayhem. Try telling them that you should just claim prosperity because that's what God wants. Our faith has become not much more than I want to feel good. And God should help me with all of that. That is not dying to self and living for Jesus, brothers and sisters. A Vietnamese pastor said it this way, and I will get to Scripture, bear with me. A Vietnamese pastor said it this way, who was imprisoned for his faith, when he said, "We have learned that suffering is not the worst thing in the world. Disobedience to Jesus is the worst thing in the world." Romans chapter 6. Just four verses. What shall we say then? Paul asked the church at Rome. You've got to kind of pick this conversation up in chapter 5 to see about the grace and the sin, the whole conversation that's going on in chapter 5. And Paul brings it into chapter 6, and he says to the Roman Christians, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound?" They were having that dialogue, that discussion, sin, grace, where does that end up? And he says, he concludes, and he says it again in 15. I won't look that far, but it's in Romans 6 if you have your Bible open. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace, the grace of God shall abound? And he says, no, we should not. And here's the point I want to make. There's two points in these four verses. How shall we who died, if we have been born again, brothers and sisters, if we have put on Christ, if we have repented of our sin and confessed Jesus as Lord and received Him into our life, the Bible says we have been born again. And if we have been born again, Paul says we have died to sin. And he says, how shall we who died to sin keep living in it? I've told you this before and I shall say it one more time. Grace of God does not give the church a license to sin. How? He calls upon the church if we claim the name of Christ. How shall we who died to sin keep living in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized unto Christ were baptized unto His death? He said, do you not know, brothers and sisters, there may come a time when you put on Christ and you claim His name that you will be baptized unto His death. You may go on the cross just like He did. It's happening right now. It happened to the first century Christians. And Paul says, do you not know when you put on Christ, when you were baptized into His death, you may be partakers of His death. Are you willing to do that? He said. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into life, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, He says to the church. I want to draw just two phrases out of those words, out of those verses. How shall we who died to sin any longer live in it? The word dying is used here. And then he said, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. And that's where I draw my text from this morning when I talk about dying to live. If we are ever going to live for Jesus, we have got to die to self. We can't do both. To live for Jesus must mean death to self. But we've got all these rationales. I want to be comfortable. I want this. I want that. I don't want to do this. I don't want that. Living for Jesus means dying to self. Period. Jesus said it this way. If you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and start following. I fear we are so worried about our own agenda. I fear we're so worried about our own comfort, and I have been there too. My own agenda, my own comfort. But I fear, and when I hear these things from Christians abroad that have come here and taken a look at the church, an outside set of eyes looking in, when I hear them, it just confirms what I feel. I fear we are too busy with our own agendas, our own wanting to be comfortable, our own wanting our own way. We don't even have time to think about dying to self, much less doing it. Millions of people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ around the globe. China, Africa, the Middle East. And these millions are willing to die, go to jail, suffer mayhem and ridicule. The Free Methodist Church, we learned the other day again, is growing in leaps and bounds in these places as well as other denominations, praise be to God. Millions are coming to Christ around the world, and much of that through persecution. Millions are coming to Christ in spite of knowing that if I am going to follow Jesus, my parents could forsake me, my kids could forsake me, my relatives could kill me, I could go to jail, and yet millions are coming to Christ. They are dying to self to live for Jesus. I say hallelujah. A lot of you know this story. Her name was Rachel Scott. You know what I'm talking about? Who knows who Rachel Scott is? You'll know when I read it. I lost all my friends at school. Now that I have begun to walk the talk, they made fun of me. This is in America. This is in Colorado. This is in Columbine. Rachel's journal entries showed her disappointment that the very people to whom she wanted to show Jesus' love turned away from her, but she wasn't about to deny Jesus. I'm not going to apologize for speaking the name of Jesus, she wrote. If my friends have to become my enemies for me to be with my best friend Jesus, then that's fine with me. I always knew being a Christian means having some enemies, but I never thought that my friends were going to be those enemies, she wrote just exactly 1 year before the incident in Columbine happened. Rachel, you see, was a student at Columbine High School on the day two students opened fire in the school. One gunman asked her if she still believed in God as he pointed the gun at her. She looked him in the eyes and said, "Yes, I believe in God." And then he asked her another question. He asked her why. But before she could answer, he put a bullet in her and killed her. Rachel Scott passed the test. Miserable glasses, I can't see through them. They're all fogged up. Rachel Scott passed her test, and because she did, her light reached beyond her school to around the world. Long before the test came, you see, Rachel expressed her willingness to give her all for Jesus. The words from her journal written exactly 1 year before her death tell about her commitment. She said, she writes, "I'm not going to hide the light that God has put into me. Even if I have to sacrifice everything, I will do it." She wrote in her journal 1 year exactly before a bullet took her life. You see, brothers and sisters, Rachel Scott died to live twice. She died to herself when she became a follower of Jesus, to live for Jesus. And she died physically in that high school in Columbine that day, and now she lives with Jesus. She died to live twice. Years ago, I want to close with this, and then I'm going to ask our praise team to sing "Lead Me to the Cross." 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, we will celebrate this next week as we celebrate communion. We'll celebrate it again on Good Friday if you can be with us. But 2,000 years ago, the Son of God bled and died. Why? So that we might live. So that we might live. I will talk a lot more about that on Easter morning. He did not die so that we could live to ourselves any longer. He died so that we might live for Him, church people of America and around the globe. He did not die on that cross so we could continue to wander and wallow in our sin, that we might die to self and live for Him. That's why He died 2,000 years ago. He died so that we might live lives, victorious lives, overcoming sin, lives that are like Rachel Scott's, that said, "No matter what happens, I will follow Jesus." He died so that we, His followers, would die to ourselves and live for Him. That's why He died. And I have somebody ask me a while back, "Can I make it to heaven if I haven't died a martyr's death?" Because people are dying martyrs' deaths all over the globe, even in America. Not many in America, but once in a while. And the answer is yes, we can make it to heaven if we don't happen to die a martyr's death. But listen to me, I'm going to close now. I cannot make it to heaven if I'm not willing to die to myself and live for Jesus. You hearing me this morning, friends? If I have not died to self, Jesus said, you cannot be my follower if you're not willing to deny yourself. We must die to self and live for Christ if we ever plan to be part of His eternal kingdom. And so this whole idea of dying to live, we're going to revisit it three more times. But these Christians from around the world have brought new light to my mind, new conviction to my soul. Have I died to Jesus? Do I live for Christ every day? And if the answer is I don't know or I don't think so, then it's time to die to self today. It is time to get right with God the Father through faith in Jesus His Son today. I think it was A.W. Tozier that said this, "It is not just a trip to the altar. That is only the beginning of our death to self. It is not just a flippant prayer sometime. It is a commitment to follow Jesus. It is not, I'm on to church this morning and for the next 2 months I don't have time for Jesus. That is not dying to self and living for Christ. That is living for self. He has called us, brothers and sisters, to die to self and live for Jesus. And I suggest to us, and I'm probably preaching to the choir, forgive me if I am, I suggest to us we start dying to self and living for Christ. Praise team, please, take us to the cross. That should be our motto. Take us to the cross. Take us to the cross and remember the blood that was shed there. Take us to the cross and remember the agony, the horrific act, the love that was displayed there, the forgiveness of sin, and bask in the shadow of the cross, dying to self and living for Christ. If we have never surrendered, friends, I suggest today is the day to get right with Jesus. And even if we claim the name, I am a Christian, have you died to self? Are you living for Christ? Today is the day. I have done so many funerals this winter, it makes my head spin. And I will not stop doing the funerals because people will keep dying. And if you haven't put on Christ, if you haven't claimed Him as Lord and have surrendered to Him and are walking with Him, it will be eternally too late. Don't wait. Another week could be too late. Marie will pray with you. Dale will pray with you. I will pray with you. Come to this stage and kneel and pray. Pray where you're at, but get right with God through faith in His Son today. Deny yourself and claim Christ as Lord today and start dying to self and living to Him. It's the only way. Without holiness, Jesus, the Hebrew writer said, nobody is going to see God. We start by giving ourselves to Him and dying to ourselves and putting on Christ. I challenge us, as I was challenging Kansas 2 weeks ago, I challenge us to start dying to ourselves and living for Jesus today. There's a phrase in that song that you just sang that said, rid me of myself. Sometimes I've had trouble with that. Maybe you have too. But we need to, friends. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to get self out of the way. If you're here this morning and you're not sure self has ever gotten out of the way, confess it to Him today. Invite Him to take control. He will, but He won't by force. He will only do it by invitation. Repent of sin, all of it. Come clean before Him. Claim Him as Lord and walk in newness of life, having died to self, and see the glory of God and the beauty of following Jesus, regardless of what society, friends, family, the government, or the enemies dish out. Father, thank You for the opportunity that we have to be called children of Most High God, joint heirs with Jesus. But that won't happen, we realize from Scripture, until we have been born again. And we won't be able to die to our old ways until we have been filled with Jesus and Your Spirit, O God. So help us with that today, I pray. Thank You, You are so willing to forgive. But we must come to You in repentance. We must come to You in humility. We must come to You in surrender and put on Christ. We must be willing to die to self, just like Rachel said. Even if it costs me my friends, I'm going to follow Jesus. Even if it costs me my comfort, Christians are saying around the globe, I am going to follow Jesus. Father God, forgive us in America. We have wanted our comfort and our amusement way ahead of dying to self. Forgive us for that. Help us, Father, to die to self, beginning with me, and to live for Jesus. Time is running out. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. And may today be the day of salvation for people all over America, including in this church house. May today be a day that people all over America and North America and the globe say and mean, I'm going to follow Jesus. May we say, by the millions, forgive me of my sin, Father. I know Jesus is my Savior and I need Him. Come into my life. Take control. Help me to die to self and live for Jesus. To the glory of God. Father, we need you in the church in America. These Burundi Christians and these Chinese Christians that have been here, they've reminded me of that. Lukewarmness is not what's all about to follow Jesus. Dying to self to follow Jesus is what you've asked of us. Help us, O Lord. Help us in this church and in churches all over our region and in people that aren't in church. Help us to surrender to Jesus, the Christ, and live for Him from now on. Help us, O Lord, I pray, fill us with your Spirit and use us to be salt and light, just like Rachel and millions of others have been for Jesus. I pray in His name. Amen.